This is Digital Story Podcast number 1034, January 13th, 2026. Today's theme is Get Your Photo Trade Show On in 2026. I'm Derek Story. I was going to start this episode by reporting on the photo news from CES 2026, only to discover there was none. Wow! Fortunately, there are some excellent events coming up that will scratch our trade show itch, and I'm going to cover the best ones on today's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So for years, I went to CES, a consumer electronics show in Las Vegas, and I have many good memories from that show. I remember years where Panasonic was showing, Pentax was showing, Canon was showing, Nikon was showing. There was so much to see and do there, in addition to all of the other cool electronic stuff that you see, the consumer stuff, the TVs and the robots and the Bluetooth refrigerators and, you know, God knows, you know, the kind of stuff you would see. But then over the years, the photography stuff really started to wind down at that show, and it really became more about everything else. In fact, anything that was electronic that had nothing to do with pictures seemed to be the focus of the show. Then during the pandemic years, I stopped going altogether for obvious reasons, and then started paying attention again once it fired back up after the pandemic. Noticed that there just wasn't very much photo-related news. And I was going, wow, you know, that's a shame, because I remember like hanging out in the Polaroid booth and testing all the new things that they were talking about and checking out the crazy things that Kodak would come up with, like reintroducing a Super 8 movie camera. You know, all that stuff I was exposed to at CES in Las Vegas. And now virtually nothing is going on. So this year I thought, okay, now surely with all the stuff that was happening in the world of photography, that there would be something to report on this current show, the show that just happened in Las Vegas. And so I nosed around the internet, did some research, went to places that said, hey, here's all the photo and video stuff that happened at CES 2026. And I would read those articles and I'm going, I'm not reporting on that. I'm not reporting on a new SD card by Lexar. I mean, really? Seriously? That is all you guys could do. And I was going, man, this is just no bueno, no bueno at all. But I was thinking there are trade shows going on and scheduled, and that will be very photo-centric. And I said, okay, if CES isn't going to give us anything at all to talk about in January, I'm sure some shows will. And there are, and I'm going to cover those right now. We're going to start with one that's happening this very moment as I record this. If you listen to the podcast on Tuesday, which, you know, I hope you do. That's, you know, a lot of stuff that I talk about sometimes is, you know, time sensitive, and listening on Tuesday is the best time. If you're around the Nashville area, Imaging USA is going on right now, and it will be going on today, Tuesday, as you listen to this as well, which means if you're in the area, you can go over, catch some of the classes, go to the expo, and just hang out in general. Sometimes all you need is one day at these shows. Now, I like Imaging USA. I haven't been for a few years, but I always found it very photographer-centric in the sense that, you know, it's run by people who understand photography, obviously, and the show just has that sort of vibe to it. It doesn't have the biggest expo floor, but it is interesting and it's worthwhile, and you get a chance to interact with other photographers, you get a chance to take a few classes, and the stuff that you do see on the show floor is usually pretty good, and you have most of the biggies showing up for it. Now, it does happen early in the new year, so if you're missing the show this year, which I'm guessing most of you will, because I'm not talking about it till the show's already underway, it's a good idea to put something in the calendar for next year so that you can start thinking about it and maybe sign up in December, find out where it's going to be. A lot of times they like the Nashville area or around there. So Imaging USA has been a standard for some time now. I anticipate they'll be going next year as well. And you just have to start focusing on it before the holidays so that you're ready to go after the holidays. Coming up next is CP Plus, the Camera and Photo Imaging Show. And CP Plus 2026, as they say, the world premiere show for cameras and photo imaging, is going to be held at the Pacifico Yokohama from Thursday, February 26th to Sunday, March 1st, 2026. Now, this is the Japanese biggie. I mean, this is a big show. It's one that I have always wanted to go to. I cover it. I read about it. I follow the announcements there. There are usually quite a few announcements at this show. And it just always seemed like a fun event. It has a lot of energy. There's definitely a good expo floor there. But they have new product showcases, class sessions, exhibitions, of course, and they have workshops. It's a full-fledged event that has all the different aspects that we would want. It's on my bucket list, and someday I will get to go to that show, and I do follow it in the news. If you're in the area or if you have the ability to get there, I highly recommend it, because from everything that I've read and from people that I've talked to that have gone to that show, it's worth the trouble. A little closer to home, in March, we have WPPI, the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International, and it's scheduled for March 1 through 5 in Las Vegas. So it's going to be at the Rio in Las Vegas. Now, what's interesting about this year, it's a good show every year, but this year, the keynote speaker is Annie Leibovitz, and so they're really pulling out the stops. They have a lot going on. This is one of those shows that I think the expo floor is very educational, because they do focus on portrait work. They do focus on weddings. They do focus on all that kind of work. And this show always has a lot of lighting demonstrations going on right there on the expo floor. You don't have to take a class for it. I just think it's fun. Now, I used to get to work this show for many years when I was working for LowPro, and it was one that I always looked forward to. It's easy for me to get to. Las Vegas is easy to get to from California. I know Las Vegas well, so it's great hanging out when I'm not working. The show itself is a very, very good show. It's not too big. It's not too small, you know, because I think it's more focused than a general photography show, you know, more focused on portrait work, more focused on wedding stuff. It attracts people that are really into that aspect of photography. And I just feel like that it's one of the more educational shows, even if you don't go to classes. It's very friendly, you know, being held in a hotel in Las Vegas. It's cozy, it's fun, it's educational. And it's definitely worth the time. And that's coming up on March 1 through 5. March 1 through 5 at the Rio in Las Vegas. By the way, for all these shows that I'm talking about, I have links to them in the show notes with the little abstracts and the dates and all that stuff. So if you're getting out your calendar and planning, just go to the show notes, because everything will be there that you need. This next show, also coming up in March, is another one that's on my bucket list. Now, I have a writer from LiveView that has gone to the show and written about it. It is the Photography and Video Show, and it's the UK event covering business, fine art, you know, all sorts of good stuff. It is a nice, big, robust, multifaceted show going from March 14 through 17 in Birmingham. The Photography and Video Show is the event for anyone passionate about photography, this is their words, video or content creation. Thousands of visual storytellers visit over 4 days to try and buy the latest camera kit, and accessories, get tips and inspiration from big names, and connect with each other. Boy, if you're in that area, I would definitely recommend making time to go to that show. It's received high marks from everyone I've talked to who's attended. And again, that's the Photography and Video Show in the UK in Birmingham. Now in 2025 at Javits Center in New York City, we had the Build Expo put on by B&H. There's no announcement for 2026 yet, but in 2025, it was held in June, and a lot of us are crossing our fingers that they do it again in 2026. I would say that Build Expo was the surprise, the positive surprise show of 2025. I had a writer also go to that show from LiveView. Michael Alford. And he gave it high marks. And, you know, Javits Center is a great place for this kind of show because it has really nice trade show floor. It has classrooms underneath. It has a lot of food services. It's easy to get to. It's really a lovely place. And it's just a cool building. I mean, I really like, you know, it's bright and there's lots of light coming through. And it's happy. It's a happy place. Every time that I've been in Javits Center, and I've been there many, many times over the years. When I was with LowPro, I would work Photo Plus Expo, which was at Javits Center, and just enjoyed going to New York, living in New York for a week, hanging out at the photography show during the day. You know, you get your little routine down, and it's just so much fun. What's interesting is, and we're just hoping upon hope, that it's just a planning thing, that B&H has not announced a 2026 show yet, at least not officially anywhere that I can find. And it would surprise me if they didn't do it again this year because it was so successful last year. Great turnout, great participation by all the manufacturers, just really good on all fronts. So it's something to keep your eye peeled for. Because if you're on the East Coast, I would say this is definitely a fun show to go to, and hopefully it'll happen again in June. Come on, B&H, let's do it again. You had a good party last time. I think it'd be even better this year. And finally, the last one on my list, and this is another show that I know people have gone to, and it's completely different than everything else that I've talked about. It's Paris Photo. And it's the world's largest art fair dedicated to photography and image-based art. They've been doing this now for like 25 years. It's going to be November 12 through 15 in Paris in 2026. And this is a show, this is not the show where you go to see the latest camera from Canon. It's not that kind of show. It's the kind of show where you go and you're looking at art. Plus, you're in Paris. I mean, nothing wrong with that. You could add on all sorts of wonderful things and really, you know, make a whole week of it. The show itself is 12 through 15. Spend a day or two at the show and then spend another couple days hanging out in Paris. How much fun would that be? So Paris Photo, November 12 through 15. So those are the shows that really have caught my eye for 2026. Imaging USA, which is going on right now. Something, if you're interested in, start planning for next year. CP Plus in Japan. WPPI in Las Vegas. Photography and Video Show in the UK. Hopefully Build Expo in New York City in June. And Paris Photo in Paris, November 12 through 15. Sprinkle in a couple of workshops and you could have a very fun year. Very immersive year with photography. Some interesting things in the news this week. I'm going to start out with, have you guys seen this latest Instax instant camera from Fujifilm? It is very interesting. They've added a new twist to this latest Instax camera. It's the Mini Evo Cinema, I believe. Yes, it makes movies. And it looks like a movie camera. And not only does it make movies, but you can choose the decade that you want the movie to look like. Okay, let me explain more. Actually, let's go to DP Review, and they will explain a little bit about this. And I have the link in the show notes that also has pictures. Fujifilm has announced a surprising addition to its popular Instax camera line, the Instax Mini Evo Cinema. The camera builds on Fujifilm's existing Evo lineup, which focuses on hybrid of digital and instant film, adding the ability to record video. It offers a handful of unexpected features, including the Eras dial. The Era, the 2020 Era, the 2010 Era, that kind of thing. The Mini Evo Cinema features a design vaguely reminiscent of the Fujica single 8 camcorder from the 1960s. It shares the vertical orientation and a trigger for recording video. You won't be recording feature-length films with it, though, as it's only capable of 15-second clips. You can view videos instantly on a small rear display and then choose individual scenes to print on Instax film. The Instax prints also feature a QR code that allows you to play the video, though Fujifilm notes that that will only store videos on its servers for 2 years, so you'll want to be sure to download them before that time runs out. Should you want to make the camera look even more retro, there's an optional viewfinder attachment that converts the small screen into an electronic viewfinder. There's also an attachment to make the grip more prominent and a dedicated case. The camera also features the Eras dial that would make Taylor Swift proud. It offers 10 different settings that change the look of the footage to recreate the feel of each era, spanning from 1930 to 2020. It also adds sounds such as the whirl of film reels for a more complete experience. Each effect provides 10 levels of adjustment to fine-tune the result. On the still side of things, you can trigger a print by using a lever that Fujifilm says is designed to evoke the feel of winding film. Like with other Evo cameras, you can print images you take with the camera like a traditional instant camera or print photos from your smartphone. The camera is equipped with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and connects to the Instax app, which allows you to view photos and videos captured with the device. You can also combine video clips to create videos up to 30 seconds long with a cinematic opening and ending templates. There are also poster templates for you to create movie posters by adding text. This is just really wild, don't you think? The camera is only available in Japan and is slated to go on sale January 30th. Fujifilm hasn't shared full specs, such as what size or resolution the sensor, or the battery life, or the price as of yet. For now, we'll just have to wait on the details and find out if it will be available elsewhere. Which I'm guessing it will be. I think they'll start with the release in Japan and then go from there. It's kind of a cool looking device, I have to say. I'm very curious how the images look if you shoot, 15 seconds of video, choose a frame to print, and then how does that print look? there's a lot of very unanswered questions here. But as far as the device itself, I think it looks fantastic. Fujifilm has really got the sandbox going right now in terms of playing with these different ideas, the X-Half and now this Mini Evo Cinema. Who knows what they're going to come out with next. This one's a fun one. And if you kind of miss the Super 8 days, kind of like that sort of stuff, in addition to your still photography, you might want to follow this story. The Olympus OMD EM10 Mark IV is not discontinued in the U.S. This is a story that's on Petapixel, and I have a link in the show notes. Last week, reports out of Japan indicated that the OMD EM10 Mark IV, the last of the major camera lines that still bears the Olympus name instead of OM system, was discontinued. That led some to lament the loss of Taylor Swift's favorite camera. The note of discontinuation of the OMD EM10 Mark IV comes from the listings at Map Camera. OM System says this is Japan-specific in that there are no current plans to stop making the camera available in the United States. Quote, the report you saw is specific to the Japanese market, OM System tells Petapixel. The OMD EM10 Mark IV is still available in the U.S., and there are no plans to discontinue it here at this time. Japanese retailers often play it pretty fast and loose with the term discontinued. While it sometimes is true, and a company will also list a camera or lens as no longer available, just as often the term is used when a retailer can no longer order more stock, which can happen for any number of reasons. The article goes on to cite some examples of this, as with the Pentax K3 Mark III, the Nikon Z24-70 f2.8. Pulled the trigger just a little too quickly there. So while there will be plenty of speculation around the OMD EM10 Mark IV status, there is every reason to believe OM System when it says the camera isn't discontinued. That said, it remains the last Micro Four Thirds camera that hasn't gotten a refresh in some way to carry on with Olympus branding since the company sold its camera division to Japanese industrial partners, which eventually became OM System. If there's a camera in OM System's lineup that could use a new model, it's the EM10 Mark IV. And I saw those reports in a number of places, websites that I'm not going to name right now, but that you're probably familiar with, that said the camera was discontinued. And like they say here at Petapixel, even though it's going to continue to sell in the U.S., it would be nice if the OM System refreshed this camera, brought it up to speed. It's a nifty little camera. I love shooting with it. I've got one converted to IR, and it's just a blast. It's easy to carry around. It's fun to shoot with. It takes good pictures, all that good stuff. A refresh would probably be welcomed by a lot of Micro Four Thirds photographers. Will we finally see Canon's retro camera this year? This is an article on fstoppers.com. My guess is yes, but let's see what they say. For years, the idea of a retro-style Canon mirrorless camera lived in the realm of wishful thinking. Forum threads speculated, rumor sites teased, and Canon stayed silent, content to let Fujifilm and Nikon own a market segment that seemed to grow more lucrative by the quarter. But something has shifted. The rumors have become more specific. The executive comments are more telling and the calendar more significant. April 2026 marks the 50th anniversary of the Canon AE-1. And if there was ever a moment for Canon to finally enter the retro camera market, this is it. The question is no longer whether Canon could build such a camera. The question is whether they have been waiting for exactly this moment all along. Being late is a strategy. If you haven't followed Canon's product decisions over the past decade, you have seen this pattern before. Canon rarely leads. They watch, they wait, and then they arrive with something mature and refined, usually. Sony released the original A7 in 2013, becoming the first manufacturer to put a full-frame sensor inside a mirrorless body. Canon did not respond with a full-frame mirrorless camera until 2018, and when the EOS R finally arrived, the reception was lukewarm at best. Critics pointed to the single card slot, the cropped 4K video, and the limited native lens selection. Some wondered if Canon had simply missed the mirrorless transition entirely. But Canon was not panicking. They were building. The RF lens system that launched alongside the EOS R body was not an afterthought. It was the groundwork for Canon's eventual dominance. By the time the R5 and R6 arrived in 2020, Canon had assembled a lens lineup that rivaled what Sony had spent 7 years constructing. The narrative shifted overnight. Suddenly, Canon was not the company that had fumbled mirrorless. They were the company that had waited until they could do it right. An anniversary too perfect to ignore. The Canon AE-1 debuted in April 1976 and went on to become one of the most influential cameras in the history of photography. It was the first SLR to incorporate a microprocessor for automated exposure control, a technical achievement that allowed Canon to keep the body compact and the price accessible. Over 5.7 million units sold worldwide. The AE-1 did not just succeed commercially. It changed who could participate in serious photography by making capable equipment available to a much broader audience. For Canon, this is not merely nostalgia. This is foundational corporate heritage. The AE-1 represents everything the company wants to believe about itself. Technical innovation in service of accessibility, premium quality at reasonable prices, and products that define their era rather than simply participating in it. A 50th anniversary celebration practically writes itself, and Canon has never been shy about leveraging its history when the marketing opportunity aligns with product strategy. The timing here is almost too convenient. If Canon were to announce a retro-style camera in April 2026, they would not need to manufacture a reason for the product to exist. The anniversary provides the narrative. The market has provided the proof of concept. All Canon needs to do is provide the camera. And it goes on from there. They talk a little bit about the Fujifilm X100 series, the Nikon ZF, get into all that kind of stuff. Now, they do say that Canon is talking now. For years, Canon's official position on a potential retro camera was the corporate equivalent of a blank stare. No comment. We do not discuss future products. Thank you for your interest. The wall was impenetrable. The wall has developed a few cracks. At CP Plus 2025, Canon executives spoke directly about the AE-1 in an interview with Phototrend. He acknowledged the upcoming anniversary. He discussed the design challenges involved in blending vintage aesthetics with modern ergonomics and usability. And he confirmed that Canon is actively listening to the demand for such a product. This kind of candor from Canon is rare. So, we're in the situation where we wait and see. There's a lot more about this. If you're a Canon shooter and you're interested in this possible retro mirrorless camera, I encourage you to check out the link and go read the entire article. I would love to see this camera. I would love to see this camera. I shot with an AE-1. It was one of the first cameras I also worked with. Very fond of memories of it. Took great pictures. Just a joy. And for it to come back, you know, something like the Nikon ZF with Canon's own secret sauce. Yeah. I want to see that. I would love it. Let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I am talking workshops because workshops are the topic of January, aren't they? You know, as we start thinking about the year ahead, I talked about the upcoming trade shows this week, but we also have great workshops coming up. We did on Saturday our first webinar. Rob and I did our first webinar. You know, helping people prepare for the workshop season with our tips and recommendations for getting the most out of your photography workshops. We have more webinars coming up. The next one is going to be in February on backyard birding. You know, it's listed on our workshops site. So if you haven't signed up for it, it's only $10 if you're not an Inner Circle member. If you're a regular Inner Circle member, it's $9. And if you're an Inner Circle Bold member, it's free. All you have to do is send me an email to dstory@gmail.com and say, I want to be part of the Backyard Birding webinar, and I will register you as part of your Inner Circle Bold membership. So we've got that coming up. Rob is in the middle of his Lightroom online workshop right now. And then I have a workshop coming up at the end of this month, mobile photography with the iPhone, iPad, and mirrorless camera. And this is a workshop that I believe really talks about modern photography in so many ways. Because, you know, when we go on a big trip or an extensive photo workshop, yes, we carry more gear than we do for our everyday activities. But the rest of the time, travel, like with family, the rest of our just hanging out and exploring, the world around us, is this lighter weight photography with our mirrorless camera, with our iPhones, with our iPads, processing stuff on the go, sharing with other people, all that kind of stuff, using these fantastic mobile apps that are available to us, on these mobile platforms, using these cameras that are so smart and compatible with our mobile devices, and just sort of figuring out, what's going to do what, how do we make it nice and smooth, how do we make a wonderful workflow that allows us to enjoy what we're doing and at the same time come away with great pictures. And that's what this next online workshop's about. It starts on January 28th. It's listed on our workshops page on both Nimble Photographer and Digital Story. Just click on the link and you can get to this workshop and sign up for it. I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. This is the second year that we've done it. Last year was a blast. I have a wonderful ebook that goes with it that I've put together specifically for this workshop that you get to hang on to and refer to. Of course, we record the videos so you can go back and see them over and over again. Mobile photography with the iPhone, iPad, and mirrorless camera coming up on January 28th. And the workshop season continues from there. So make sure while you're on the page, you see what else is going on. You might want to join us, and we're going to be announcing more webinars as well. I want to give a thank you to our Inner Circle members and our Inner Circle Bold members. These are the folks that support our community and our podcast month in and month out. As I mentioned, Inner Circle Bold members get one free online class. It is our Creative Camera Techniques online class. They can attend that four-week workshop for no fee, and they get to attend every webinar that we have in 2026 for no cost as well. It's just our way of saying thank you for being Inner Circle Bold member. If you're interested in signing up for Inner Circle or Inner Circle Bold, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, nose around a bit, sign up, and then you'll be hearing from me with all the goodies and access to our specific site that we have just for Inner Circle members on Derek Story Online. A huge thanks to our Inner Circle members. And finally, a tip of the lens cap to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. They're working on some stuff for 2026. I can't say too much right now, but I will say that things are in the works. Things are in the works, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And really what they want to do, and I'm so glad that this is their mantra, they want to get printing into your hands. They want to make printing easy so that they remove the barriers of inkjet printing so that you can produce beautiful art from your images as easily and as affordably as possible. That's their mantra for 2026. And they're actually doing some stuff to make that happen. But in the meantime, you can go over to their site by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can read all the information that they have there. You can explore the different paper surfaces. You can read about the different printers. They have so much information there to get you started now, to get you printing and producing fabulous art that you can share with the world, that you can put on your wall, that you can send as a fine art greeting card. A big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast and for supporting inkjet printing for all the photography artists in the world. And I'm looking forward to talking more about their plans for 2026. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more great stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.